Well, I have a title here for our teaching. Love, God's love moves beyond self. God's love moves beyond self. And thank God that his love is infinitely greater than ours. For we would have given up years back, but God's love is unceasing. Always has been, always will be. There was never a time when there wasn't the love of God. And everything that God creates is an expression of his love. Not only as an expression, but it's revealed not only in his creation, but how he preserves and keeps everything by that love. And so we want to look at this today, and I want us to turn to a familiar chapter and verse of Mark 14, verses 3 to 9. You all know this story very, very well, where Mary Bethany, she anoints our Saviour, which was all of a sign leading towards his burial. And we take it up in Mark 14 and verse 3 onwards. Well, no, let's take it from verse 1, chapter 14, verse 1. And after 2 days was the Passover and the feast of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. And they said, Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. So we see now they're trying to trick, they're trying to plot because they want to get him out of the way. That's what jealousy, hate will do. And then we take it up in verse 3. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came, having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii given to the poor." That is a lot of money in those days, trust me. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and wherever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could and has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial on her." And indeed, it is. And what this woman done, some 2,000 years, here we are preaching, talking about it, and she hasn't been forgotten. And acts of love are never forgotten, not in the eyes of God. You see, if our idea of love doesn't take us beyond ourselves, our mind, our thinking, it's not really love. You see, if our idea of love is just based on emotions, or we try to use wisdom, or we're cautious about our love, or just to be sensible, particularly if you're giving things, just really like they were saying here, what she was anointing, you know, this woman isn't being sensible. This is a lot of money. I think We don't really understand the love of God in Jesus Christ. You see, God's love was so extreme, his love, that he offered up his son, that we might have fellowship, that we might have redemption, a new life in Christ. That's what extreme love, things that look peculiar. Sometimes you can't work out. You can't even apply wisdom to it or rationalize it. And yet it has a deeper motive. And of course, God giving up his son. You see, we can so often deceive ourselves that we are loving, but it's not always acceptable to God. You see, faith has to be active. We cannot do anything unless it is acted and motivated by faith, believing. You see, this woman anointing Jesus is not really thinking about the cost of it. She knows it's very valuable. It's really nard that she's anointing our Saviour here. And this was costly aromatic oils. And this came from the native of India. And near Nepal, it's taken from a root. It's a herb. And here she is, she was using this in preparation for his burial. Now, of course, she's not thinking that, oh, he's going to be dying soon. She's just pouring this upon. It's all she can give. It's an act of love, appreciation. It could have well been in Mary's family and was probably used on special occasions to perfume inside. But it was very costly. And that is the whole point. And here she's taken something very, very valuable and special, and she's anointing our Saviour. And people around are looking at it in a completely different way. And we probably would do exactly the same if we saw what was going on and thinking, well, the cost of this, this could feed a lot of mouths or help people or whatever it would be. You see, God's love moves way, way beyond our logic, our thinking, our wisdom that we like to apply. This is why everything has to be moved and motivated by faith. Because faith identifies with the Holy Spirit and the will of God. You see, the Holy Spirit inspired, wrote this word. And to believe and trust this word, you have to believe it, have faith. So the Holy Spirit needs faith, and faith needs the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to quicken, to enlighten us, the will and mind of God. You have to see that your faith walk is far greater, bigger and larger than you see, think. Faith is not just human wisdom, logic, human understanding. This is why the Holy Spirit comes to illumine our minds to the revelation of God's word and will. That is why so many struggle. That is why so many in churches do not really walk by faith. They are not understanding the Holy Spirit. He interprets the word for us. And the enemy has been very subtle over the centuries by not only removing the baptism of the Holy Spirit, attacking on that, but also attacking the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. For we're told in Ephesians 4 that this equips, it matures, it teaches, it encourages, it builds, it admonishes, it's supernatural. These are gifts where God supernaturally feeds and teaches his body. And the enemy knew exactly where to attack, to keep most Christians in the flesh, carnal. And this is the problem we have. I see it every day when I go on Instagram and share the teachings and messages. I see that carnal flesh trying to understand, interpret God. And it invariably is always critical, negative, not understanding the mind or heart of the Spirit of God. And this is why we need to be baptized in the Spirit, empowered, so that God bypasses. This is why he tells us to put on the mind of Christ, and that we're to cast down all those negative, wrong things, wrong confession, wrong thinking, and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, to change our confession, to change our thinking, our motives, everything. And he will, to make us Christ-like. And here we have an example that they do not understand the love of God here. In demonstration, this woman is an embarrassment. It's ridiculous what she's doing. And Jesus says, leave her alone. And that's what God will do with us when we go that extra mile, displaying the love and grace and mercy of God. There'll always be obstacles, but God will say, leave them alone, for they do it unto me. Jesus said, if you see me in prison, visit me. If you see me hungry, feed me. If you see me naked, clothe me. No conditions. That is it. That is God's love moving beyond self. And how is self dealt with? The cross. That you daily are to take up, and the Holy Spirit will crucify that self that gets in the way of the will of God being performed and worked through you. That's what it's for. Because God wants to use you. But he can't always use you because of these obstacles that still get in the way. And they're often self-motivated. Have you ever done something for God that isn't necessarily useful, or your duty, or there isn't anything in it for me, but simply because you love him? Have you? If you haven't, you will. You will find more and more as you go on, I do this unto the Lord. How do you think I have preached this word for well over 40 years, pretty well, week after week, have a few breaks or whatever? How do you think I do that? It's my way of giving back the greatest gift that he's ever given to me. I can never, ever pay him back on that. It's free. It's a gift. But where I can find any opportunity of doing it unto him, I will seek it and do it. And it comes by asking. This is how you do it. When you read these things like Mary of Bethany that anointed Jesus, when you see these things there, you begin to realize, Lord, I want to do that. I want to minister in the way. Sometimes it's the most simplest thing that gives our Savior great joy and pleasure. If you've never felt the pleasure of your Father's heart, then now is a time to seek to do it. You do it unto Him. And then it keeps everything balanced. It keeps our motives, our heart, right, pure in His sight. You see? I soon had to learn this one in ministry. And I thank God because the Holy Spirit, He showed me this. He taught me this. I didn't have an apostle to sit under and be taught these things or whatever. It was God revealing these things as I read it. Because I've always believed in my simple mind and way that when I read this word, this is my Saviour speaking to me. I always keep it simple. And we go into doctrine. We open up heavy stuff at times, but it's still our Heavenly Father speaking to us. As I say, it's His love letter to us. So often we can be caught up debating about God's love, debating about the church and organization and ministry. We're just caught up with it all, but we're neglecting all the things that you could be doing for Him. That's why I say the busiest people in churches are not very spiritual. Busy people are not aware of doing anything for Him. It's my duty as a Christian. God doesn't want duty. You're not under the law anymore now. You're under grace, a better covenant, better promises. We do it to Him because we love Him. And that's what love does. It's not works, but just simple human things, things that reveal you are in faith, fully surrendered to Him. You've done what Mary of Bethany has done. She's done a good work for Him by simply anointing Him with that very, very costly oil. Probably the only expensive thing she has. She's given the most expensive thing they have in the house. She's offered it up. She hasn't had any reservations. Am I doing the right thing? Or am I going to get told off by the family when I'm doing whatever? Not at all. Faith is moving. Faith is operating. She's not questioning. And this is what I'm always trying to say. Our faith will move in accordance to the Word of God, motivated by the Holy Spirit, God's love. Our faith that we preach, the deeper life, is about the love of God. If you see it any differently, you have not understood the deeper life. You have not understood faith. Faith worketh by love. Both need it, you see. And God is going to look to see if we will give Him a small gift or gifts of surrender. Just to surrender up to Him. I mean, the greatest thing, of course, we can surrender is ourselves. Romans 12:1-2. to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, placing yourself, your heart on that altar. You can't do any more than that. That is discipleship. But God will show you in that surrender of yourself which you've given up, there are things that please his heart. Exactly the same in relationships, in marriages. A husband and wife know little things to buy one another that pleases them. They just have a knowing, they know them. Because that's what love reveals, you see? And it's exactly the same with your relationship with the Lord. In actual fact, to be surrendered to God is more precious than even holiness, which means to be separated, sanctified. And that is important. I'm not saying it isn't. But we're talking of things here that are even greater. We're very consumed at times about our own personal holiness, our own faith, which, if we don't watch it, can cause us to be very inward looking, looking always at self. And we become more concerned how I am walking, praying, talking, looking, than my ministering to the Lord. And often we do those things out of fear, out of bondage. Because if I don't do that, God will chasten me. You see, it's all about a balance. And that's why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's why when you keep close with him, he will balance us in that relationship with him. And we begin to learn what pleases him, what he likes. And so on. But all of this, of course, comes as we are surrendered to him. And as I said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we offer ourselves up to him. We give ourselves back. Why? Because we have been purchased with a price. You are not your own. You're not your own property. You belong to the Lord. And he's going to do what he wants to do with you. What does it say in 1 John 4, verse 18? 1 John 4 and verse 18. And you know this well. For there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. There you are. So what Mary of Bethany did there and what you do and will do is because he first loved us. That's his love that motivates us, that moves us beyond ourselves. So look how great his love is. But he doesn't want our love in a sense of being tormented, walking in fear. This love is free, because he said, if the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. It's not taking advantage of grace and love, but it's knowing by faith that God has me firmly in the palm of his hand. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You move into that experience. It's something that you know, you're confident in. And then that frees you up, if you like, to put Christ first and to be sensitive to his will and what blesses him. You see, when we surrender, it proves that we are of value to him. When you surrendered yourself, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and you placed yourself on that altar, you were giving yourself of value to him. In other words, he's saying, this is what I want. Now I can work through you. Now I can begin to see my image in you. You see? You're now of worth. Because the tragedy is, a lot of Christians, sadly, in the natural, are not employable. I wouldn't employ them. But that's the grace and love and mercy of God. But God wants to make you valuable in his sight. And no finer way than surrender unto him, giving yourself. Then he begins to work in and through you, raising you up in himself. You know, a lot of Christians just never think about the fact, am I of value to him? But it's a question we need to raise. Maybe we need to ask the Lord. Because you can't put a price on any of this. And this is the whole point. You can't put a price on salvation. You can't put a price on our Heavenly Father giving up his Son unto death. There is no money. There is no price. Nothing can buy this. And thank God it can't. And so, when we understand all of this in light of the Word of God, we're going to find that God's love will move beyond self. And we will start to be thinking about him and what pleases him. And that, Lord, I do this unto you. I go and talk to that person who doesn't look very nice, but I do it unto you. There are so many things that will come our way where we can do it unto him if we allow the Holy Spirit to make us sensitive and to be used. And you'll know when you've missed it, because it wounds you in the heart. It's just something that you know you should have done, ministered to him, but you didn't. You ignored it. You turned away. We've all done it. I've done it. And it pierces. But you see, the wonderful thing about it is, although, yes, you missed it, it isn't going to come back. But God has a way of opening up opportunities again, where you can get it right. And that is where you simply say to the Lord, Lord, don't give up on me. I've missed it badly. And the Lord will hold us. He'll keep us in his presence. This is why you see we need the continued cleansing of the blood of the Lamb. And that's why, as it tells us in Revelation, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and love not our lives unto death. That's how we overcome. We keep with that blood. We apply that blood. We believe it. Whatever your motive, your attitude, if you're taking advantage of it or whatever it will be, that is how we overcome. The blood is there. I'm desperate. I need that blood covering me, because that keeps me in fellowship before God. That gives me that standing in his presence. Why do you think it says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb? I'll tell you why. Because we're all Christians now living in Sodom. That's why. We are living in a time of utter corruption that all the while is trying to defile us, lure us away, tempt us. In everything, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and that keeps you standing in his presence. It keeps you sensitive to his will, ministering to him, doing it to him. And when they come along, or when they try and criticize, or those demons try to attack, He just says, this is done unto me. And you can't argue with that. No demon can argue with that. The enemy himself can't argue with that. You've done it unto him. That settles it. This is why we endure, brothers and sisters, as we bring this to a close. That's why we're overcomers. This is how the bride is making herself ready now. She's ready to be betrothed. God's putting this within her heart, making her ready, so that when she comes to marry, she will not be shocked, but she will know much about him and be one with him. Can you not see this wonderful work the Holy Spirit's doing? How he's preparing, wooing the bride with love, devotion. He's revealing those things that please him. That's what goes on in a marriage. And if you're not picking that up, then ask God to put that in your heart, to understand that. Because the bride's making herself ready. She is a wise virgin. She is using that oil, the oil of anointing. She is using that light that she will see and be ready when the bridegroom comes. She's looking up as her redemption draws near. She's being wooed by the Spirit. And some see this and some don't. For not all will go up in the first fruit rapture. We know this. But the wise virgins, they're getting ready. They know the next great event that's to take place. So here it is. God's love will move us beyond self. And that's why God deals with that self. He gets our self-life out of the way so that we're then released for the will of God, doing those things that please him. And the more you do this, the more determined you become, the more you love it. When you realize how you can please your Heavenly Father, there is something about it. I want to do it again and again and again. You see, it's infectious. That's what it is. So don't be put off by the enemy. Don't listen to his lies or whatever he's trying to say. God is always one step ahead, and he's gone before and prepared the way. All we are to do is to walk it and believe it. So there we are. God's love will move us beyond self. I trust that you've been blessed.